You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
You know, today is really a celebration of God's faithfulness. This is not a day for us to pat ourselves on the back, to say, look at how far we've come. Look how awesome our church is. I'm very proud of our church. I'm very proud of how far we've come. But today is a day to celebrate the faithfulness of God, to talk about 4 years of lives that have been changed, of people who have found a church home, of God's goodness. Today's a day to say, all glory to God. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen. That's what we're here to do today, celebrate the goodness of God for the past 4 years. Because I want to tell you that God is faithful. He's a God who is faithful to complete the work that he began. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're actually going to dive right into our text this morning, our scripture this morning, which comes from Philippians chapter 1. Let me just set this up for you. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church. This was actually one of Paul's favorite churches. They were a loving church, a very generous church. They had partnered with Paul in the work of the ministry, so his heart for them was very warm. He had planted this church. He was writing to them as a spiritual father. So listen to these words from the very opening of his letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Paul writes this, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Will you read those words with me again from verse 6? Being confident of this, read this with me, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, I got good news for you this morning. God is a God of completion. He will finish the good work he began. You came to church this morning to get good news for you. There it is. Let me ask you this question. Do you ever start a project, maybe a project around the house? You know, you want to paint the house, renovate your kitchen. I don't know, whatever, right? So you want to fix up an old car, something like that. You ever start a project and at first you're inspired and you're motivated, but then the inspiration runs out and the project just kind of sits for a while. Has that happened to anybody? Happens to us all the time, right? And I have to pick on the guys for a moment. There's something in the nature of men. We do this all the time, especially with projects around the house. I know growing up, my dad always had some project that he started that was sitting unfinished for a long time. And my mom was growing, you know, impatient with him. In fact, right now, he's got a 66 Ford Fairlane sitting in the driveway at home right now. It was his car from his 20s, and he went back and found one, you know, just a few years ago and decided to restore one. Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus is going to return before that Ford Fairlane is ever ready for the road, okay? It's been sitting there for a long time. Now, I could pick on my dad, but this happens to me too. You know, Amy and I bought a house this past summer, a house that needed a little TLC, if you know what I mean. And we got in there this past summer. And for the first 2 weeks, I mean, we were working so hard. I painted most of the house myself, but we had a ton of help from our church family that came out. And we got so much work done on the house. And we were just inspired. We were rolling along, just checking stuff off our checklist. Well, then the fall came and we just got tired. We just got uninspired. And so now nobody even wants to change a light bulb around the house. It's like, Amy, I'm like, Amy, is it your turn to change the light bulb? She's like, no, I think it's your turn, right? Like, somebody just do something. Because we kind of ran out of steam. That happens, right? Speaking of unfinished projects, how many of you guys have ever visited the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, in the Upper West Side, around the Morningside Heights area by Columbia University? See, I don't see a lot of hands because everybody goes to visit St. Patrick's Cathedral. We all know that one because it's right by Rockefeller Center, very famous, well-known tourist destination. But the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, it's a marvelous church, kind of off the tourist beaten path up in the Morningside Heights area, and it's actually the Episcopal Cathedral for New York City. I discovered a few years ago I was in that neighborhood. I actually had my sister-in-law Megan with me, my baby sister-in-law Megan. She was with me, and we were exploring that area of the city, and we stumbled into the church. It was actually Good Friday of all days. We went in, and I kept saying to Megan the whole time we were there, I'm like, this church is ginormous. Like, this thing just goes on forever. I'm like, I'm telling you, I I've been to some of the big cathedrals in Europe. I've been to Notre Dame in Paris. And I'm like, this church is, it's huge. It just goes on forever. Well, I got home and Googled it. It turns out it's the fourth largest church in the world. It's a big one right here in New York City. So if you've never visited, you got to go sometime and check it out. It's an amazing, amazing building. And it's still unfinished. Here's the amazing thing. Construction actually began on the cathedral back in 1892. So it's over 120 years old. Talk about a delayed project. Now you don't feel so bad about your honey-do list, right, guys, that you haven't gotten to yet. You haven't finished painting your kitchen yet. You can give yourself a little grace today, okay? This thing's over 120 years old. It's still not done. It's got a dome that's one of the largest domes of any church in the world that's still not complete yet. And if you know anything about cathedrals, usually it takes centuries to build them. Well, speaking of unfinished work, Paul writes to the Philippian church, this group of Christians in Philippi that he loved. And he writes to encourage them. Look at our verse again in verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion. God knew, Paul knew that God had begun a good work there in Philippi. He knew that God's hand was upon them. He wanted to encourage them and just let them know God is going to finish the work that he started in this church in Philippi. And here's the truth for all of us today. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe that God began a good work in every one of us when we came to faith in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this scripture, you can just grab a hold of it as a promise for you. Because I believe when you came to faith in Christ, when the Holy Spirit opened your heart and gave you the revelation that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, when God drew you to himself, he began a good work in you that's still underway to this day, right? You're a work in progress. You're a masterpiece under construction. God is working in your life. That's true for every one of us. And then I think there are these specific times in life where God wants to do kind of a specific work, a season of work in our lives. Maybe it's a time where God wants to do a work of healing in your life, a healing from some hurt from the past. Maybe it's a work of freedom. He wants to free you from a negative mindset or free you from some self-destructive behavior. Maybe God just wants to grow you. There's a season that he has you in that's just a season of growth. He wants to grow your soul. Maybe it's him building your faith in some way. There are these kind of specific times in life, right? Where we know that God is doing a work in us and we're aware of it. And I think sometimes we need a promise from God. You ever been in a season of life where you're like, God, I just need a word from you. I need something to grab a hold of. And sometimes you've been in a church service, or maybe you heard a sermon, or you were reading a devotional or a scripture or a book, and you grabbed a hold of a scripture and you said, God, that's a promise for me. Like you felt like God literally gave you that word for you, and it was personal for you, and you grabbed a hold of it, and you believed it. Like, God, I'm believing for you to do this particular thing, this work in my life. And isn't it beautiful when it starts to unfold, right? Isn't that the great thing? We're like, God, I believe you gave me a promise. God, I believe you spoke something into my spirit. And when we begin to see it happen, we're overjoyed. But inevitably, if you've walked with God long enough, if you've been a Christian long enough, you know that you will face a season where that good work gets delayed. Anybody been there before? That good work does not come to pass on your timetable. How many of you have discovered that God does not operate on your timetable? Anybody with me? It's delayed. It's stalled, right? And it happens for a lot of reasons. Sometimes other people get in the way and stall the plan. Maybe you have a difficult manager at work who doesn't see your full potential, isn't allowing you to progress into your full potential, a difficult supervisor. Maybe it's a bank that won't give you a loan for that new business that you want to start up. For whatever reason, there are people who come into our lives and they become limiters for us to the plan of God in our lives. And then sometimes it's circumstances beyond our control. Sometimes there are things that happen in our lives. Like maybe you're doing a great job at work, but you find out that your company is downsizing and they're letting you go, even though you got amazing performance reviews. You didn't see it coming. It's a loss of a job. It's a circumstance outside of your control. Maybe it's infertility. You always wanted to have a family, but you struggle being able to have a family. Maybe it's sickness in your body. Maybe something happened to you that was just beyond your control. Here's the truth. Sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we get in the way, don't we? The truth is we all have a sinful nature, right? And sometimes we kind of get distracted. Sometimes we can really get distracted and get our eyes and our hearts focused on the wrong thing. Sometimes we get a little bit impatient with God's plan and we try to take a shortcut to help God out. Come on, God, I'm going to help you out. I've got some ideas of how we can move this along. Have you ever done that before? Yeah, how'd that work out for you, right? It's like, Jesus, take the wheel, right? Until you take it where I don't want it to go. Give me that wheel back. Let's go over here. And you know what happens, right? You get whiplash when that happens. For whatever the reason is, right, we sometimes go through these seasons where it seems like the work of God in our lives, this dream that we have, this plan that we believe, this purpose that God has for us, it's delayed. It hasn't come to pass yet. It's not finished. And we can begin to have this sense that God is like us. Maybe God is distracted. Maybe he's just too busy right now. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's procrastinating, right? Maybe he doesn't have time right now to bother with me anymore. He's got more important things on his hand. Come on, ladies, let's just be honest. Some of you married women begin to think that God is like my husband. He's just never going to get to the honey-do list. I might die before he ever gets done what I need done. Let's just be realistic. We begin to project on God. Anybody been there before? But I have good news for you this morning, church. I have good news for you. God's ways are not our ways. His plan is not our plan. His timing is not our timing. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He's a God of completion. He might not be on your timetable, but he's a God who's faithful. He's a God who's faithful. And so I want you to put this in your notes this morning. When you came in, you received some note sheets. Put this in your notes. Just because God's work is unfinished doesn't mean you're abandoned. Just because his work is unfinished doesn't mean you're abandoned. Never mistake unfinished for abandoned. What happens is we get into these seasons where things aren't happening the way we thought they would, where we have a vision for our life, where we feel like God even spoke to us about our purpose, and we're not seeing it come to pass just yet. You might say, well, I thought my marriage would be in a better place by now, or I thought I would have found the significant other that I've always dreamed of, or I thought I would have that job, or I thought my finances would be further along, or I thought I'd be healed from this sickness, or my relationship with my kids would be better. Whatever. I thought I would have finished that graduate degree by now, and the finances aren't there or the time's not there. Here's what I want to tell you. Never mistake unfinished for abandoned. You're not abandoned. You're just unfinished. You're just a work in progress. God is working in you. God is working behind the scenes. God is working in your heart. He hasn't abandoned you. You're just a work in progress. You got to keep your head up. You got to hold on to faith this morning. Come on. Somebody came to church this morning. You need to hear this. You're in a season like that right now. You're in a season of life like that right now where you feel like, God, have you forgotten me? God, have you forgotten, you know, have you forgotten what I felt like you spoke to me that you would do in my life? I've grabbed a hold of the promises of your scripture and I believed it, but I haven't seen it come to pass yet. Can I tell you I've been there before? Can I just be honest with you and tell you I've been there before? You know, as we come into this 4-year anniversary, I always think back and I'd spend some time prayerfully reflecting on our journey and all that we've been through, Amy and I and our family, and the whole backstory to this church, because every church has a backstory, and some of you know it, some of you don't. But, you know, I remember moving here about over 5 years ago and coming here full of faith and full of hope, but we had taken a big leap of faith. We left our friends and family. We had wonderful friends and family. Some of them are here this morning. My favorite mother-in-law is here. Love you. And some of our other family, only one I got, only one I plan on having. Yeah, come on, somebody. And so we had left family and friends and a wonderful church, and we lived in a parsonage, which means we didn't pay rent, and we got to start paying Westchester rent. Come on, somebody know that God is a worker of miracles. He's the one who gives us faith, right? We went from paying no rent to Westchester rent. I don't know how that happened. The gift of faith comes from God alone. How many zeros do I have to put in this check every month? Are you kidding me? Okay. But we took this great leap of faith, and we spent a year praying about coming down to the New York City area. There was like a magnet just tugging on our spirit. Felt like God was calling us here. Hey, let's go plant a church where there's population, where there's a need for church. How many of you know we could use a few more life-giving, Jesus-preaching churches in the New York City area? We got a few million people in every direction who need Jesus, right? And so we came here just, you know, believing, and Amy was pregnant with our third son, and we were kind of pregnant with a dream. And so I kind of thought, you know, God, I've already passed the test. Like, I walked away from everything I had. I'm taking the greatest financial leap of my life. Like, God, I'm going to get to Westchester and the blessings are just going to start flowing like automatically. That's kind of how I dreamed it up. And, you know, I try not to win the award for the worst start to a church plant ever, but to this day, I have to continually give myself the award because I've never found someone with a worse story. Everybody's had their difficulties, but, you know, our very first week we got here, my dear mother and father-in-law helped us move down, and we had some friends and some family that came to help us move, and we kissed mom and dad goodbye on a Monday, and that Wednesday, we got the worst phone call of our lives, that my father-in-law had passed away of a heart attack at 58 years old. And we were devastated. I mean, out of nowhere, the worst possible news. And here we were. We had just moved our family. We had just taken this great financial leap of faith. And you know how you would feel in that time, right? Didn't you feel like, oh, we left our family at a time when they needed us? The beginning of our church plant, the backstory to this church is we got in our car and drove back to Buffalo, and I had to go preach my father-in-law's funeral and stay there and be with family for 2 weeks. That's how we got started. We came back and we were emotional basket cases. And then a few months later, we had a baby. How's that for an emotional roller coaster, right? Let's have another baby. So we had a baby. And I honestly, if Aaron wasn't in first grade or whatever grade he was at the time, second grade, if we didn't have to get up to take him to school, I don't think I would have got out of bed. So we had all of that hurt weighing on us and the stress of finances and being here. And then I wish I could tell you that we got here and people heard about this new church and they were so excited and they started flocking to us, come to me, all my babies. It didn't happen that way. No, it did not happen that way. We met people and they're like, oh, that's great. You're starting a new church. Where is it located? We don't know yet. Really? Well, who goes to your church? I don't know. Hopefully you. Would you like to join? Right? Why don't you come to my house? We're having this meeting tonight. They're like, yep, that's a cult. I'm not going. I don't know what they're putting in the Kool-Aid over there, but sure, call me. Yeah, I'll be there. Text me. It was rough, man. It was hard. This thing was delayed, you know, and we had all these parameters you learn in church planning, all these different goals and things you're supposed to hit, right, or indicators that you're building a healthy team, and we were hitting none of those things. And a few months in, that first summer, I think it was like July, we moved in February, I'm sitting on the beach with two friends, and me and my kids and my wife and two friends thinking, what in the world am I doing in Westchester County, New York? Like, God, I must have missed you. I must have had a pizza dream or something, but I thought I heard your voice, but God, what a fool I am. What am I doing here? And I thought we completely missed God. And when can I just say this morning, as I look back, here's what I see now. God didn't abandon us. We were just under construction. Come on. We weren't abandoned. We were just unfinished. God's work wasn't finished yet. He was still bringing it to completion. I look back now and realize we weren't abandoned at all. Now, back to our text for just a moment this morning, okay? Paul's writing this letter to the Philippians. I know we're grabbing a hold of this promise and we feel like it's really personal for us today, but this original context of this scripture is he's writing to a church. He's writing to this group of Philippian Christians in the city of Philippi, which is modern day Greece today. And they were facing some difficult challenges. First of all, they were facing persecution, okay? They were not in a city that was friendly to Christianity. And there was some quarreling and some strife inside of the church. In fact, later on, Paul writes about and heeds them to get along in the church. So they were having some problems in the church. And they were in this pagan city that was very polytheistic and a difficult place to start a church. They were facing some difficulties, and Paul knew that they needed some Holy Spirit-inspired encouragement. He knew that they needed to hear from their spiritual father. Can I just tell you, if you don't have somebody in your life who can speak into your life, if you don't have another follower of Jesus Christ who's walked with the Lord a little bit longer than you, you need to find one. You need to get into a life group. You need to join a team, because we need people like that speaking into our lives. Every one of us needs a Paul in our life. And Paul knew that the Philippians needed to hear from him because he had a perspective that they needed. Look at this in verse 4. Here's Paul's perspective. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Come on, turn to somebody and say, from the first day. From the first day until now. See, Paul knew they had a backstory. Every church has a backstory. I told you a little bit about ours, right? Well, the Philippian church had a backstory. We read this wonderful letter. Philippians is a super encouraging letter. You need some encouragement. Read the book of Philippians this week. It'll encourage your soul. But we read this letter and it's so, so encouraging. But what we don't know is that the Philippian church had a backstory. And we read about that backstory in Acts chapter 16. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he had this vision. This man spoke to him in a dream and said, come to Macedonia, which is this region where Philippi was. Come to Macedonia and help us. And Paul and Silas went to Philippi. And when they got there, there weren't a lot of people waiting for them either. When they got there, there was nobody there. In fact, they had to go out to the river on the outskirts of town on the Sabbath, and they found this group of people who were God-fearing people but didn't know the gospel yet, didn't know Jesus. And Paul shared the gospel with them, and many of them came to faith. And a lady named Lydia, who was a merchant, she came to faith. She got baptized, and a church was born in her home. That's how the church got started. And I wish I could tell you it just got easier from there, but what happened is there were some men who weren't too happy about Paul and Silas coming to their town to share the gospel because they were stirring things up in Philippi. And so they dragged Paul and Silas to the magistrates and had them beaten and thrown in jail. We got some pictures for you. Yeah, welcome to Philippi. We're so glad you're here. Why don't you stop by and visit the Chamber of Commerce before we beat the snot out of you and throw you in jail? Welcome to Philippi. Yeah, it's a nice reception, right? Welcome to our town. So Paul and Silas got beat up and they got thrown in jail. And And they had a rough go of it. But see, Paul had some perspective. He had some perspective. He knew all that he went through. He knew how small things had started in Philippi. And can I tell you, sometimes we get depressed by our current circumstances, but we forget how far we've come. Because we forget just how far we've come. See, every now and then, here's what you gotta do. You gotta stop focusing on what's in front of you. We get like tunnel vision, don't we? We get tunnel vision. We get so laser focused on our circumstances. We get so focused on what's not happening the way we thought it would be. We see what's in front of us and we get depressed. But every now and then, you gotta get some new perspective. I think the Holy Spirit wants to whisper to us, every now and then, you gotta climb up on the mountaintop and just look at just how far you've come. Look at how far God's brought you. Look how his hand's been upon you. Look how you would have never gotten to where you got if he abandoned you. Come on, you're not abandoned. You're just under construction. The dream is just under construction. So stop focusing on what's in front of you and step back and get a broader perspective. You got to zoom out. Somebody came to church this morning to hear that. You got to step back and look at the entirety of your story. Look at just how far God has brought you. See, Paul knew how things started in Philippi. Paul knew the backstory to this church. And I'm sure when he was sitting in that jail, you know, during that time he was beaten and thrown into jail with Silas. I'm sure there was a time when Paul wondered, like, is a church ever going to be birthed here? Now, you got to read the rest of this story. It's amazing. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas begin to worship inside of this jail in Philippi, and they just hold on to the promises of God. And an earthquake literally shakes them like free, and they break free. And the jailer thinks, oh my gosh, all the prisoners are going to leave and escape, and he's about to kill himself because he's going to pay for this. And he ends up getting led to Christ, and Paul preaches to him and says, no, you're okay. We're all here. We're not leaving. And this man comes to faith, and his whole family gets baptized. And eventually the magistrates of the town come, and they release Paul. And so here's the crazy thing. Out of all of that commotion and chaos. What a crazy backstory. You'd never think a church would come out of that, but a beautiful church comes out of all of that. A generous church, a warm church. In fact, probably the Apostle Paul's favorite church. When you read this letter, you can just feel how he gushes over them as a father. A generous church, a church that gives back and helps other churches, a church that supports Paul in the ministry. And so they needed Paul's perspective. Come on, two things you need when you're in a season like that: perspective and just worship in the midst of it. Worship in the midst of it. Hold on to God. Hold on to faith in the midst of whatever the challenge is. Here's the truth. Every now and then, I get frustrated with God's plan for my life. You know, pastors aren't any different than anybody else. In fact, we're probably worse sometimes because we always want to see our churches be further along than they are. We always want to see the vision be further along than it is. It's a pastor thing. Pray for me. We struggle with that stuff. We kind of have a promise from God, especially people who are visionaries like me, and we want to see it be further along than it is. We want to see it get there sooner rather than later, right? Anybody with me? Like, God, can you do it sooner rather than later? We're trusting in you, but sooner rather than later would be nice, right? And cheaper rather than more expensive would be good too. Come on, God. Come on, somebody. Help me, Lord. Help me. And I can easily focus on what's not going right. I can easily focus on the challenges, and I can easily focus on how the vision hasn't progressed to this place. God, I thought you showed me we were going there, and we're not here yet. But every now and then I have these moments, and a 4-year anniversary is just about as good as any, to step back and have the Holy Spirit just remind me of all that God has done. I step back and I get a little perspective, and I think about day one. Come on, Paul remembered from the first day. And every now and then I have these remembrances of the very first day, of just how far God has brought us. And he takes me back to that day in February in 2014 when we pulled up to Fremont Street in Harrison with a U-Haul truck and a pregnant wife and didn't know anybody here, didn't have a bunch of friends and family, had a few pastor's friends, but we had a dream in our hearts and a call on our lives. And God takes me back and he reminds me of how he's taking care of us. Can I tell you, after we had that devastating start to our church plant, we came back to Westchester, and our friends and family begin to send cards to us, like condolences, right? And I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. I've never heard of anything like this before. But people didn't just send cards to us. They sent cards with checks in them. And every day, Amy and I would go to the mailbox and we would open up the mail and there would be cards there of people saying, praying for you, thinking of you guys, believing with you. And there'd be check after check after check. And it was like God's way of saying, I'm with you. Like, I'm with you in this. And it built our faith. And can I tell you, it built our savings. Like, it gave us a cushion to trust God. It was a blessing. I look back and I remember the faithfulness of God. And I remember how God began to send people into my life. I think about, I joined LA Fitness here in Portland. church yesterday because I was just trying to meet people. Come on, church plant hustle. Got to meet people. Got to build a team. Got to reach some people. God knows I needed to get in shape, but I needed some people. And I met Victor Piano. Vic, I think, is here this morning. Victor's still part of our church to this day. And I told Vic a little bit about our story and what we were doing here. And on day two, he was trying to sell me a personal fitness plan because he looked at me. He's like, dude, you need a personal fitness plan. We got to get you in shape. He beat the heck out of me, by the way. He was not nice to his pastor on the first day. He beat me up. He's like, you used to be an athlete? Say, what? You used to play football? Dude, you're out of shape. So he beat me up really good. And on the second day, he said, well, I'm going to help you. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm like, do what? Like, I'm going to help you start this church. And here I am, great man of faith. I'm like, why would you do that? He's like, because God told me to help you. God told me to help you start this church. And he's still with us to this day. Yeah, we got a lot of work out of his muscles. I was like, God, oh yeah, God's going to use you. You're going to set up and break down some equipment. And he was a brother to me when I didn't have a brother. And I want to thank him if he's here today. I think about, you know, so many people who came into our life, and my dad started telling me, write this stuff down, you know, write down, because one day you're going to need to go back and look at this. And I was reading through my journal this week of how God put people in my life. And I think about Justin, who was on the guitar up here this morning, one of our trustees and our production team leader. Justin and I met when I was in Buffalo raising money, doing the missionary thing before we ever came here. And he was doing his doctoral work. Him and his soon-to-be bride, Danny, were doing their doctoral work at UB. And we stayed in touch. Like, for a year, we stayed in touch. And Justin's from Westchester. And I think about how Justin got down here just in time. We were getting ready to launch a Sunday night service at a little Episcopal church over in Harrison, trying to get something going. And we didn't have a band. It just so happens that Justin knows every other Indian person in Westchester, in the New York City area. Come on, thank God for some Indian people who love Jesus. Yes. So he had everybody and their mama come play in our band. Thank you, Justin. And then the Spanish people started showing up, and they knew everybody too. And then our church got multicultural really, really fast. Come on, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight, and we're better together. But thank God for Justin, who encouraged me and just stayed with us through this whole journey. And he's still here to this day, playing on the worship team and leading production. But God put people in our lives. And I think about how I had friends who stepped up to write checks, pastors from other churches. I think about how we needed sound equipment to go get started on Sunday night in that little Episcopal church. And I had friends who gave us just what we needed just in time. And God gave us just enough people. And then I think about the stretch between there and getting ready to come launch here in the movie theater. And our team was so small back then. I mean, here we are with a church full of people. Now, second service that's full. Guys, back then, this building may as well have been Madison Square Garden. It felt so big because we had so few people. I walked into this theater, and can I tell you, great man of faith that your pastor is, I got out of the contract here at AMC. I got out of it because I'm like, we can't fill this place. How could we ever launch a church here? And then God gave us just enough faith. Come on, aren't you thankful when God gives you just enough faith? Come on, the Bible says mustard seed faith, okay? Sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we don't have great faith. We don't feel like great men and women of God. Can I tell you, Jesus talked about mustard seed faith. All I had left was just a little tiny speck of mustard seed faith. And I came back up to this theater and said, would you let us back into the contract, please? And thank God the door opened for us to get back into that contract in just enough time because we had a mailer going out and we had to put the address on that $8,000 mailer to let people know where the church is actually going to meet because it helps to have a meeting place when you're launching a church. Hello, somebody. So we got back into this thing. We had about 10 or 15 people on our team, and Shauna was one of them. Shauna was our first volunteer in our kids' ministry. She's still back there today. I don't know if Shauna's here today. And God gave us people, just enough people to get this thing started. So if you were alive and breathing, we put a t-shirt on you, and we had family and friends come from out of town. They got a redemption t-shirt. If you were a terrorist, we didn't care. Everybody got a t-shirt that day. You were going to serve on the team and help us launch a church. And on March 29th, 2015, we sent out a mailer to 50,000 people in Westchester and said, hey, we're opening a church. Didn't know if anybody was going to show up, but we turned the lights on, set this thing up, and 135 people showed up that first Sunday. Now, half of that came back the next week, because that's how it goes, okay? But can I tell you, we never look back, and God has been faithful. And year after year, many of you have been a part of this story. If you found a church home, you've been a part of this story. And can I just tell you that God is faithful? I think we have a picture this morning of that very first team huddle that day. That was the very first team huddle. And that was all of us. That was it. Like, we probably paid extras to be in that picture. I think I got extras from New York City. I went and got actors. I'm like, can you come and show up to come to this church? I was bribing people just to come. But here's what I learned, church, through that season. I've learned that when I recognize that we're in seasons of delay, we focus on God working out our problems, but God is focused on working out his purpose in us. That's the truth. We get so focused on God working out all of our problems. God, I wish you would fix my marriage. God, I wish you would provide the finances. God, I wish you would heal this sickness. God, I wish you would take this difficult person out of my life by whatever means possible you have to take. I'm okay. Just take them out of my life. Come on, let's just be honest this morning. God, whatever you got to do. And we're so focused on the circumstances. But here's what I've learned in seasons of delay, in seasons when the good work is not complete yet, God is more interested in working out his purposes in us. And as I look back, that's what God was doing in me. God was building my faith. God was building my capacity. I was learning to trust him like never before. God knew that I would come to the place that if this church ever took off, I could never take credit for it because God has done what only he could do. And so I was under construction. I wasn't abandoned. He was working in my life. Come on, somebody, you came to church this morning to be encouraged because you've been so focused on the circumstances. You've been so weary. You've been so dissatisfied. You've been so beat down. But I want to tell you that God is faithful to complete the work that he began in you, and he will work out his purposes in your life. He is working in your life. You're not abandoned. You're just under construction. Somebody ought to get happy this morning. And so today, as I look back over these past years and think about all that God has done, and I'm encouraged by all that he's done, I feel like the Apostle Paul when he writes these words. I get this as a spiritual father. These words just resonate with me. Look at our passage again where Paul writes this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. That's how I feel about you. I pray for this church because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm thankful for those of you who have been with us from the first day and every day, every Sunday after that. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, church, that's how I feel about you. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. I know some of you, you're thankful for this church. I know some of you, you prayed for a church. Some of you, it was years that you had been away from church, or you had never been in a Bible teaching, Jesus preaching church like this before, and somebody invited you. Some of you, you were in a crisis in life. You were in a place of brokenness when you found your way here, and you found a home, and you felt loved, and you felt accepted, and you became a part of this. You found a church family, and I'm so thankful for those stories. I'm thankful for stories of lives that have been touched and healed and changed. One of my favorite things to do during worship sometimes, I look around at people worshiping. I'm not counting the attendance. We have ushers to do that. But what I do is I look around and I see people worshiping and I see different stories. I think about this person's story and that person's story. Because you know what? You were the vision I had in my heart on those hard days when it seemed like this was never going to come to pass. I would close my eyes and pray and I would see people. And so every now and then in worship, I love to look up and see people worshiping, see people who have found a church home here. But I want to tell you this morning, if I've never told you before, you were the answer to our prayers. You were the answer to Amy and I's prayers. We thank God for you. We thank God for you for bringing you here. You're the answer to the prayer that was in our heart. And here's the beautiful thing. God calls us to a personal relationship with him, but he places us in a family. He places us in a church family. And there's a partnership. I love these words where Paul says, I pray for you and because of your partnership in the gospel. See, there's something that God wants to do in us personally that's connected to what he wants to do in us corporately as a church. There's something happening here. I want to tell you this morning, church, that there's something you can only become that you can't become apart from the church of Jesus Christ. There's something that God wants to do in you that he does in you through a local expression of the body of Christ, through a family. We need each other. Something's happening. I need you and you need me. And this church that we birthed was the answer to your prayer, but you're the answer to my prayer. And you being here matters. You being a part of this story matters. And if you're new to this church, just jump right in and be a part of writing the next chapter. You being here matters. There's a partnership in the gospel. There's something that God is doing in the invisible that we can't quite see. We catch little glimpses of it every now and then. We have Sundays, like an anniversary Sunday, to step back and see all that God has done. But I want to tell you, you being here, you're a part of something that God is doing. And you're serving. When you serve on a Sunday morning, it matters. When you give week in and week out on a Sunday morning, it matters. And when you got into a life group and you built relationships with somebody, come on, somebody in this church needs you. Somebody needs your story. Somebody needs your story. Somebody needs your gift. Somebody needs what you've been through. Some of you got through some stuff. And now you can tell somebody else who's going through what you went through, hang in there, you're gonna make it. Because if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. Come on, somebody needs you. You've been serving on a team. You've been loving on kids back in the kids ministry. Somebody needed you to love on their kids. Somebody came in here and felt alone, felt like, I can't do this. I can't raise this family by myself. And you came into their life. And you started loving on their kids. This guest services team that loves on people so well every week when people walk in and week out. Somebody, do you know somebody was dying for that high five? Somebody was dying for that smile? Somebody was dying for that hug that you gave them? Our worship team that and production team and creative that shows up so early week in and week out to set up this church, it takes work. Watch the first time you join our team on a Sunday morning, you come before and you find out. Everybody says the same thing. Wow, I had no idea. I just thought you walked in this theater and it was just like this. No, it wasn't. But they give of themselves every week to create an atmosphere where people can come into a relationship with Jesus. And I want to say thank you. So this morning, I know that some of you, you might be in a season of waiting right now. You might be in a season where things feel like they're on hold, where the work isn't complete, the dream isn't fulfilled. There's a purpose that you feel like God gave you, maybe a promise, a word that's incomplete. But when you step back and you realize that you're not abandoned, you're just under construction, it changes everything. Come on to know that, God, you haven't abandoned me, but you're working in my life. My story's not done yet. My story's not complete yet. When you step back and when you remember just how far God has taken you, come on, this morning, I want to encourage you just to take a few steps back. Don't be so laser focused on what's in front of you, but step back and just see how God's hand has been upon your life, how he kept you from going off the deep end. He protected you. He put people in your life. He surrounded you. He brought you this far. It changes everything. And I'm confident of this morning, church, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Well, carry it on to completion because God's done it in my life and he's not done yet. And I believe God's going to continue to do great things in this church. Come on, as we come into this next year, I'm believing for our church family to grow even more. We're going to have to make some room and figure something out, maybe add another service or something. I'm believing for more lives to be changed. I'm believing for marriages to be healed. I'm believing for people to find their purpose, for lives to be restored. I'm believing that this is going to be a church in multiple locations one day. Come on, I'm believing for more. God's going to do greater things. And can I tell you, I'm believing it for you, church. I'm believing it for your life. I'm believing for God to heal some marriages in this church. I'm believing for God to provide finances and jobs and to meet our needs. And I'm believing for dreams to be fulfilled. I'm believing for God's purpose for your life to come to pass, for you to become everything that God desires you to be, because he's a God of completion. And it starts with this, being confident of this. Come on, it's not a cocky self-confidence. It's being confident in God. That he's the one who began a good work in us in the first place. God, it was your work in the first place. You know, we say we trust God, but sometimes we take the burden on like it was our work. Here's the truth. Here's what Paul's reminding us of today. It was never your work in the first place. It was God's work. Come on, that ought to take a weight off your shoulders this morning. You ought to breathe a little easier. God, I give it back to you. I give it back to you. God, this walk of faith, I didn't start this walk of faith. I responded, but God, you loved me before I first loved you. God, this relationship I have in my life, God, this marriage, God, my family, God, my financial needs, God, the dream you put in my heart, God, the dream I have for a business, God, my career, my relationships, whatever it is that you're believing for, whatever it is you're holding on to, God, we give it back to you because God, you're the one who started this whole thing, God. God, I give this church back to you this morning. God, I give this church back to you. It's yours. You started this good work. And so here's our prayer this morning, church. Lord, give us your perspective. Lord, give us your perspective and help us to be faithful in the process. Amen? Because we're all in process. If there's one thing we all have in common here this morning, we're all in the process together. And there's something that God wants to do in you, and there's something that God wants to do in me, and there's something that God wants to do in this church that he can't do, that he can't do in our lives without us being together. We're on this journey together. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray into this. Two things we're going to do. We're going to give thanks for God's goodness. We're going to get that perspective today in our lives. As a church, we're going to look back and say, God, you've been faithful. And then we're going to say, Lord, help us to embrace the journey. God, help us to embrace your work in us, to recognize that we are works in progress. And God, we submit to the process. God, help us to be faithful in the process. Would you pray that with me? Just make it personal. If you're comfortable, maybe you just want to lift your hands as a sign today of, God, I surrender my life to you. I open my heart to you. I give the burden back to you. That's all this is. When you see people lifting their hands in church, this is, God, I give my life back to you. I give the burdens that are too heavy for me back to you, God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, on this anniversary Sunday, as we look back and we celebrate 4 years of your faithfulness, God, we thank you for lives forever changed, God. Lives forever changed. God, we thank you for every person who's ever walked through this theater, God. From when we were in theater one to theater two to the kids down in theater five. God, for all that you've done in this church, Lord, in homes and small groups and life groups and coffee shops. Father, you've knit people together. Lord, you brought us together, God. And you gave us a home and you've done great things in our lives. And we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, today we're asking for your Holy Spirit-inspired perspective for our lives. God, we step back today and we choose to focus on you. God, we choose to zoom out today and focus on your work in our lives. God, not to focus on what's in front of us, not to focus on the circumstances, not to focus on the setbacks, but God, to give you thanks for all that you've done, that God, you brought us this far and you didn't abandon us. And God, your hand is upon us now. And so we give thanks and we pray, God, help us, give us your perspective, God. And help us to be faithful in the process. Would you pray that with me? God, help me to be faithful in the process. Faithful in the process. God, we thank you for it. We give you praise for all that you have done and all you're gonna do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.